Good evening. It is good to be with you again this evening. I encourage you to open up your Bibles and follow along as we take a look at a husband and wife team who worked together as they both chose to serve God. And they worked as a team, as a husband and wife ought to work. Last night, we looked at, Let me see. Delilah and Jezebel and Nabal. Three just wicked and horrible people. Nabal was a harsh and an evil man, one that you could not even talk to. Jezebel was a murderer. She led her husband away in idolatry. Delilah was just a nag. She pestered Samson That's all I can say about Delilah. That's just what she was. And tonight, we're going to look at Priscilla and Aquila, and we're going to look at this husband and wife team as they put God first in their lives. It doesn't come out and say literally, the Bible does not come out and say literally that they put God first in their lives, but by their actions, by the things that we do know about them, We can understand the importance that God had in their lives. In 2 Timothy, first of all, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. At the end of the second letter to Timothy, it just says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." I probably butchered that name, but that's okay. Here we have just a very brief mentioning of Aquila and Priscilla. Prisca is a shortened name of Priscilla. Priscilla is actually the Roman nickname for Prisca. But our true introduction here, Paul mentions them to Timothy. Our true introduction of them is over in Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. So turn over to Acts chapter 18 and verse 1. And we get the introduction of Priscilla and Aquila. Acts chapter 18 and starting in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Now we know specifically that Aquila was a Jew. It says here specifically that Aquila was a Jew. We don't know this specifically about Priscilla. We don't know specifically that she's a Jew. Now we can make that assumption because Aquila is named a Jew here, and we see that they had to leave Rome because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. So we can make the natural assumption, and I think we can make the natural assumption that she was a Jew also. All the Jews were expelled from Jerusalem from Rome at this particular time. Now, if she was a Jew, she had to leave also. But if she wasn't a Jew, if she was a Roman that Aquila had married, what does this demonstrate? Well, it demonstrates the idea that Priscilla recognized that wives are to submit to their own husband. If you go, I'm going. If you leave, I'm leaving. And we see that attachment, that love, that care, that consideration that a husband and wife should have for one another. I'm going to go where you're going to go. Wives ought to have that kind of consideration for their husband. Husbands love their wives and cherish their wives, and husbands are to consider their wives as their own body. And so what we see is a love going back and forth between the husband and the wife. Whenever I am asked to perform a wedding, I like to sit down with those who I'm going to perform the wedding for, and we sit down and we have classes classes, plural. It's about 6 weeks that we have classes, plural. C-L-A-S-S-E-S. Six of them. About 2 hours a night for 6 weeks. Classes, plural, before we get married. And my job, basically, before they get married, is I try to bring up every possible scenario, everything that could drive them apart. In essence, one time my wife was listening to some of the classes, and after the class she said, "Chip, were you trying to break them up?" I said, "I'm doing everything I can to make them think and consider the seriousness of marriage. I would rather them break up now, before they're married, than after they're married, when they can't. And so I want them to consider now." And she went, "Oh, that's a pretty good idea." And that is. Husbands. Young men, if you're looking for a wife. Young women, if you're looking for a husband. Young men. Husbands now. Give 100% of your love to your wife. All the time, you're thinking and considering how your actions, how your thoughts, how your words will affect your wife. You put her first. She's over here. You're over here. You're thinking and concentrating and considering her in all things. 100% towards her. Young women, as you're looking for a husband, wives now, you're doing the exact same thing. You love your husband with 100% of your all. You're thinking and you're considering him. You're giving him your all. He's your focus. And what will happen if he's giving 100% this way and she's giving 100% this way? What are you going to get? You're going to get 100% in return. It's going to come back to you. Because in all things, you're thinking of her. In all things, she's thinking of you. And so as 100% goes both ways, it comes back both ways. Priscilla and Aquila seemed to have this attitude. Priscilla shows this as she leaves with her husband. Whether she was a Jew or not, she leaves with her husband. There is a commitment in the bond of marriage. And we need to understand that commitment. It's not just for a short time. It's not for 72 days. There is a commitment in the bond of marriage. And that commitment lasts until we die. My wife is not able to be here tonight, so I get to talk about her. And I'll talk about my wife. I'll stack my wife up against any wife that's out there. None of you men have a better wife than I do. I have a wife that loves me and supports me. She's my best supporter and she's my worst critic. And she'll let me know, "Oh, you were a little loud this evening. Oh, you didn't get that quite right." But we have a relationship that works because, like Priscilla and Aquila, God is first. Husbands and wives, put God first in your lives and work towards that. And your life will be easier. Young men, young women, as you're seeking a wife, as you're seeking a husband, as you're seeking a spouse, young men, young women, put God first in your life and choose one that is putting God first in their life. It's not a guarantee, but it will make your life so much easier because you're both putting God first. And if we put God first, if we put His things first in our lives, He will provide every answer for us. And so we put Him first. Priscilla and Aquila were like that. They demonstrated a love for one another and a love for God. As they carried out their lives, as they did everything that Christians were supposed to do. We see the demonstration of Priscilla's love for her husband, the commitment that she had for her husband, the commitment to the bond of marriage. Now, in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, does it say that they're Christians? It doesn't say that they're Christians. What it says is they were tent makers like Paul was. And he stayed with them because of their trade. Now, again, we have an understanding that they were Christians. And we know later on for sure that they're Christians. But maybe it was at this time that that's when they were converted. I don't think so. I think Paul stayed with them not only because of their trade, but because also that they were Christians, and he saw a faithfulness in them that inspired him to want to stay with them and help them and be an encouragement to them. And we need to demonstrate that type of encouragement to those who are around us. As a husband and wife team, do we demonstrate that type of strength, of courage? Do people know that you're a Christian husband and wife team? Do they know that? Is it demonstrated in your life each and every day? They had the same vocation. They were tent makers, so they worked together. You see here, a preacher working a secular job. Yeah, from time to time, preachers can do that, and preachers have done that. Working a secular job. I've done that. I did that for many, many years. What we look at as we look at Priscilla and Aquila in verse 18 of this same chapter, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. You see, Paul and Priscilla and Aquila left for Ephesus, and they remained there. They were in Corinth. They were tent makers there in Corinth. And they got up and they left. When Paul left, they got up and left. What we see here from this husband and wife team is a commitment to spreading the gospel. How much influence can a husband and wife team have on those around them as they spread the gospel? As those who are outside the body of Jesus Christ see a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, working together in concert for the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much influence can that have on those around? Husbands and wives, work together for the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young men, young women, find someone who will work with you, who makes a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, who makes a commitment to the things of God. Again, if they make a commitment to the things of God, they're more likely to keep and hold that commitment that they made to you. The world doesn't believe in the bond, the commitment of marriage. Too many times we hear people out in the world and they say, well, I just haven't found my soulmate, so I had to get rid of him. I had to get rid of her. Not my soulmate. Over and over and over again. And finally, after so many tries, I finally found my soulmate. No, you made a commitment and a bond way back when. That's where your commitment and your bond is. Way back when you first married that person, that spouse, the first spouse, so to speak. Truly the only one you really have. People don't have a commitment to marriage as we ought to, and people don't have a commitment to spreading the gospel as we ought to. And as husbands and wives, we can demonstrate both, as Priscilla and Aquila did. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we read of other Christians in the first century. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And Priscilla and Aquila, we see back in Acts chapter 18, we see just a pertinent example of that as Priscilla and Aquila went preaching the word. Individually, we need to have this type of drive, this type of desire, this type of zeal. Individually, we have that. We need to have that. As a husband and wife team in God, we need to have that. We need to demonstrate that in our lives. Because we can be such a vital, vital influence. Anybody here ever been stoned for the gospel? Raise your hand. Nobody? Anybody here ever been shipwrecked because you've been preaching the gospel or beaten? No one? What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you when you were trying to talk to someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What's the very worst thing that's happened to you? You so-and-so Church of Christers. Y'all are just legalists. You're Pharisees. Oh, you don't know about the love of God. You're just Bible thumpers. It's all you are. You're hypocrites. It's all you are. You know what? That's probably the worst that's happened to any of us. I don't know of a single one of us here who's been dragged off to prison, threatened with prison, had the policeman come knock on their door. No, don't be preaching the gospel anymore. And what do we do? Well, sometimes we don't do anything. We sit down and we wait for someone else to preach the gospel. Stan will do it. It's his job. That's what we pay him for. No, you don't pay Stan anything. You support him preaching the gospel. That's what you do. Well, Stan will do it. We support him to do that then. We have elders. They'll take care of that. The deacons. We'll pawn it off on the deacons. They have husbands. They have wives. Not husbands. They have wives. They'll take care of it. They're a husband and wife team. Chip, you're talking a husband and wife team? Well, there's your husbands and wife team right there. No, each and every one of us, we have the duty and the obligation to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not persecuted. None of us are even really asked to leave our homes. This is what Priscilla and Aquila did. This is what the first century Christians did. Whether it's under duress or simply by choice, we should go about everywhere preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. With any amount of courage, we can bring up the gospel of Jesus Christ in almost any situation if we just will. But too often, we make excuses. I can't here, I can't there. You know, you heard me earlier this week. It's not politically correct. You don't talk about politics and religion. Oh, well, religion's not, we're not supposed to talk about religion at work. Well, you know what? You can talk about religion anywhere. You can bring it up anywhere. It's just how you do it. It's how you introduce them to the Bible. It's how you introduce them to the concepts that are in the New Testament. It's how you introduce them to the Word of Jesus Christ. And we can make it just as easily as we can make a decision not to, we can make a decision to. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. What we read here is Jesus sends the 70 out into the world. Verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. Then He said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Nothing's changed. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. We're the laborers. Go out into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. You know what? We're not sent out without nothing. We're sent out now. We have the completion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can carry it out with us every day. We can take it with us. If not physically, we read it and study it so it's in our heart and in our mind. And we take it with us every day. Oh, if we had the zeal of those little 17-year-old Mormon elders. They go knocking on your door. Can we talk to you about the Book of Mormon? I say, no. We can talk about the Bible. Come on in. My thinking on that is that if I can keep them 45 minutes at my house, that's 45 minutes that they lose at someone else's house who may fall to their traps. And maybe I might be able to reach just one of them. Just maybe. But the only way we can do that is if we know this to begin with. If we have some knowledge of this. I'm not saying I know everything about this. I'm still learning. I sit, so to speak, at Stan's feet. And I soak up. I listen to what he has to say. I compare it with the scriptures. And see what he's saying. See if it compares with the scriptures. You do the same thing. Don't just take it because some preacher says it. Read and study the scriptures for yourself. We need to be about teaching the gospel. They went out with nothing. We have the completion of the word. They went out to teach. Jesus sent them out to teach. And that's exactly what they did. He's sending us out to teach. The harvest is still white. And we need to be laborers. We need to be workers in the kingdom. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. There's a conversation going on here back up in verse 26. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? As Jesus was speaking about how hard it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God, he says in verse 25, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And then they asked the question, who can be saved? Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus says, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. You see, Peter was speaking for the disciples, all those who were there. They had left all. They had put Jesus first. They had put the things that Jesus was teaching first. And he said, they left all. What did Priscilla and Aquila do? They left their house. They left Corinth to go with Paul. As Paul was going to preach in Ephesus, they left all and went with him to preach. A husband and wife team working for influence as a husband and wife team can have great influence. As husbands and wives, we can influence others. We can be a light and an example. What kind of light, what kind of example are we being? Do we nag and pester and moan and groan at each other? Or do we help and support and aid and love and cherish and honor one another as the scriptures tell us? Do we represent the picture of a husband and wife team as they are one? Priscilla and Aquila presented that team, that image. They were one. They were serving God. In Acts chapter 18, back to Acts chapter 18, this time in verse 24. Acts chapter 18 in verse 24, we read of Priscilla and Aquila again. And it says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You see, Priscilla and Aquila were not afraid to stand for the truth. They saw and heard Apollos as he's teaching. And they knew that he was teaching what he knew, and he was teaching with strength and with boldness what he knew. But he was only teaching up to the point of the baptism of John. And that couldn't save anybody. He was teaching Jesus, but only up to the baptism of John. And he needed to be taught more accurately. And so what did Priscilla and Aquila do? They said, well, someone else will take care of it. Someone else will come along. They'll handle it. Peter's somewhere around. We'll send a message to Peter. We'll send a message. We'll find one of the apostles. We'll find somebody and let somebody else take care of it. We'll get a message to Paul and Paul will come back. He'll take care of it. No, the husband and wife team pulled Apollos aside and they taught him the ways of the Lord more accurately. The way of God more accurately. It takes courage to do that. It takes strength to do that. Men, have you ever given? I call them sermonettes on Wednesday night. Have you ever given a sermonette? Do you remember back to your first sermonette? Your first little talk? Mine was just nod, Mom, what, 11 or 12 or something like that, 13, somewhere around in there. I've got one of my first sermonettes. It's written out in longhand, front and back of a piece of paper. And I can tell you what, I remember it vividly. I was scared to death. But we were, it was a young men's training class. And my uncle was directing the young men's training class. Lucky me, it was my uncle who was directing the young men's training class. And if you know my Uncle Eddie, then you have an idea of how the training class was going. I tell you what, he didn't take no for an answer from a single one of us. There was a handful of young boys. And we got up there one by one and gave our talks. Scared to death. Did you ever think I'd make it, Cliffy? You know, and I still get nervous from time to time before I'm about to speak to someone. Before I'm about to speak to a congregation. You know why I'm scared to death now, though? I'm scared to death and I get nervous now because I want to make sure that I'm preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God, the truth of God's Word, so that I don't want to lead one single person astray. That's what scares me now. Not getting up and speaking to you. The old saying, you're all in your underwear anyway. Doesn't make me nervous. Only kidding, you're not. Priscilla and Aquila had the strength to stand up and correct Apollos. We need to have that courage. We need to have that strength. We need to demonstrate that. Both of them together, they took him aside and taught him more accurately. Can we have that type of strength and that type of courage each and every day? In Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. And this occurred because, go back to verse 3. And yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because the false brethren secretly brought in who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You see, we need to have the strength and the courage to not yield a bit for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give up one bit, one iota, one second, one hour. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to yield. One of the things, whenever we're having a religious discussion, somebody will inevitably say, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Nope, I'm not going to agree to disagree. I'm not going to do that. Because if I agree to disagree with you, then what I'm saying, in essence, is, well, you believe what you want to believe, and I believe what I want to believe, and then we'll both be okay. That's what they're wanting when we agree to disagree. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to agree to disagree, because that would be disagreeing with God's Word, because God's Word does not agree to disagree. God's Word is truth, and that's what I'm going to hold to. It takes courage to stand up and not yield for a second. It takes courage to tell someone, you're in error. You need to correct. You need to make a change. It took courage for Aquila and Priscilla to pull Apollos aside. It took courage for them to do that. But they knew it was the right thing to do. They knew what they had to do. And so they taught him more accurately. He was teaching accurately up to a point. He was teaching the things of the Lord up to a point. The baptism of John, but he needed to be taught more accurately. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We need to be looking out for one another. A brother or sister is caught up in sin. We recognize it. We see it. We need to have the courage to go up there and say something to them, to pull them out of the fire. Not saying that Apollos was in sin. I'm saying the principle applies of what Priscilla and Aquila did. They saw he was not teaching accurately. They went and instructed him so that he could teach accurately. He was teaching accurately the things of the Lord up to the point of John, of the baptism of John, but he needed to be instructed in the baptism of Christ. And they went and taught him more accurately the things of God. It takes courage. Do you have that courage? Do you have that strength? It's within each and every one of us. And we can pull it out. We can summon it out. And we can pull it out. And we can do these very things. Galatians 2 and verse 14. Galatians 2 and verse 14. Paul speaking of Peter here. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And he goes on, he confronted Peter to his face. And sometimes that will be necessary. Whether it's privately, a face-to-face confrontation, a public confrontation, whatever is necessary, it's necessary. Not everything is a public confrontation. Some things are a private situation. Pull them off to the side and let's sit down. Let's talk about this. This situation of hypocrisy with Peter was so blatant, was so out in the open, that Paul had to address it in a public manner. But all of these take strength and take courage. As a husband and wife team, we can encourage and build up and strengthen one another. And we can accomplish great things. But it's together. It's together that we build up and strengthen one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19, also over in Romans chapter 10, 16. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila, Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 5, Paul also says, likewise greet the church that is in their house. He's speaking of Aquila and Priscilla. And then he goes on with greetings for other brethren here. The strength of Aquila and Priscilla is demonstrated in their love for God is demonstrated in that they hosted a church in their home. Has anybody ever hosted a church in your home? Have you ever had singings in your home? Have people over for Bible study in your home. What does it take? It takes a good deal of planning. It takes maybe some rearranging of furniture. It takes study on your part, having the proper materials there, whether it's a Bible class or a singing. Imagine week after week after week that you're hosting worship services in your home because the building burns down. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? This week it's at Stan and Debbie's. Next week it's Brother and Sister Goins. Week after that it's Ron and Hope. When it's your turn, could you, would you, host the church in your home? It seems to have been well known that they had a church in their house. As Paul wrote to the Christians who were in Rome and the Christians who were in Corinth. They opened their home. There's a hospitality here. There's a love for brethren here that is exhibited as they put God first in their lives and they wanted a place where the brethren could meet together to worship God according to His pattern. And it takes a husband and wife team together to do this. If the wife wants to, but the husband says, oh, are we going to have those people over again? We just did this last week. You know, I was so tired by then, I didn't get any sleep. I was all tired the next day. You want to do this again? The wife, nagging and pestering, says, I am not having those people in my house again. It takes a husband and wife team working together. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did. Do you have the hospitality to open your home? Do you have the love for the brethren to open your home? I hope you would. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, Mary opened her house to the church for prayer. Peter was in prison at this instance, and the angel helped or released Peter from prison, and Peter went to find the saints praying there at Mary's house. Do you have the hospitality to open your house to the church? When was the last time that you invited anybody over to your house? Ask them to come over. Let's play some games. Let's have some ice cream. One of the things I grew up over going to worship services over at Halton City, and speaking with Ron and Hope and Dick and the other day as we went over to have dinner together. One of the things I remember is we'd always get together over at the Gill's house during summertime. At least three or four times during the summer times, it seemed like we'd all get together and everybody bring their ice cream. And we'd sit down and we'd have ice cream, and pretty soon the kids would be out playing volleyball. Adults would all be talking. And then before long, everything would stop, and all of a sudden all you'd hear is just a bunch of old singing. Song books would be broken out. We'd start singing gospel hymns. And I can remember those days just as vividly as anything. When was the last time that happened? Have we lost the art of hospitality? Have we lost somewhere the ability to open up our homes? Priscilla and Aquila opened up their home to worship God. Mary opened up her home to the church for prayer. Have we lost that ability somewhere along the way? Are our TV shows that important? I don't know. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. Verse 9 through verse 20 give all kinds of Christian characteristics. And verse 13, it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Is our door open? Now, many times when we're talking about hospitality in the New Testament, it's not just hospitality to those we know. It's hospitality to the stranger, to the one who may be outside the body of Christ, the one we don't know. And we need to have hospitality to even those. Now, today, we must be careful about that type of hospitality, because we don't know if that person is going to has some type of weapon, or is going to cause harm to us, or his or her desire would be to cause harm to us. And so we need to be properly cautious about that. But are we given to hospitality? And is our hospitality only open to a few? Well, I'm going to invite Paul Sells, but I'm not going to invite the Collins. Leave them alone. I'm going to invite the Goins, but I'm tired of the Costas. You see, our hospitality needs to be open to all. We get in our little cliques and our little groups, and we click together. As Christians, there ain't no cliques, there ain't no groups. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all one family. And so we say, this week, instead of the Paul Sells and the Goins, I'm going to invite the Goins and the Coxes. Exactly what I'm going to do. Hospitality is a Christian characteristic, a Christian attribute that we need to regain it. Sometimes, somewhere along the way, we may have lost that hospitality thought, that idea, the sharing, the love that we have for one another. The desire to be with one another, not just at worship times, but outside the four walls. Priscilla and Aquila had a love for the brethren that they opened up their home to the worship services. Surely we can demonstrate that type of love and that type of care for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, the elders are to be hospitable and able to teach. Titus 1 and verse 8. Priscilla and Aquila were hospitable and they were able to teach. Aquila was hospitable and able to teach. Not saying he was an elder, but he was both hospitable and able to teach. Titus 1 verse 8 says the same thing. Titus 2 verses 4 and 5. Titus chapter 2 verses 4 and 5. Paul writing to Titus. Well, let me get over to Titus. There we go. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Speaking to the women and the older women, verse 3, likewise they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. This is all in the same accord with the hospitable nature of one of the qualifications for an elder and the hospitable nature that Christians are supposed to have. This all falls into the same pattern, in the same line. Priscilla and Aquila were an example of this for us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read some continued admonitions here. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, likewise their wives, speaking of the wives of elders and deacons here, likewise their wives must be reverent, not slanderous, temperate, faithful in all things. Together, Priscilla and Aquila, they demonstrated these qualities. And each and every Christian can demonstrate these qualities. If we have a true love and care and concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can demonstrate these qualities each and every day. These are the type of qualities that we should be, young men, young women, you're looking for in a spouse. Together you work for the kingdom of God. Together you work to spread the gospel. Together you work to be an example of a husband and wife team as it's defined, as it's shown in the scriptures. Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. Back to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. Paul speaks again of Priscilla and Aquila. And he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." You know, we don't know exactly how Priscilla and Aquila risked their own lives for Paul. But he says they did. The Holy Spirit says they did. It may have been in Acts chapter 19 as Paul was in Ephesus at the riot in Ephesus. It may have been somewhere along in there as some disciples and the officials stopped Paul from entering the amphitheater because they knew he would have been harmed. It might have been somewhere along in there. It might have been somewhere else. But they had a care and a concern for Paul. They put themselves in harm's way. They risked themselves. Do you have a love for the brothers and sisters in Christ that you would be willing to risk yourself? Priscilla and Aquila did. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 through 28, we read of the many, many trials that Paul went through. And again, none of us face any types of these trials. But if one of our brothers and sisters in Christ was going to be going through any type of trial, will we be there for them? Will we be there to help and aid them and strengthen them? Individually, as a husband and wife team, Paul reminds Timothy that all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. And we will suffer trials. We will go through various trials and troubles in our lives at various different times. And it's amazing what a comforting word will do for one in trouble and trial. It's amazing what the presence of a brother and sister in Christ will do for one who's going through a difficult time. It's amazing what that will do for someone. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, we look to the possibility, the time that we can help and we can aid and we can build up and strengthen someone. Because somewhere down the line, we're going to be in that position. And then maybe someone will come and build up and strengthen us by their word, by their presence. As we see a faithful husband and wife team coming to our aid, even if it's just words of comfort. You know how grateful we are when we hear those words of comfort and when we see our brothers and sisters in Christ. John 15 and verse 13, Priscilla and Aquila demonstrated this type of love. In John 15 and verse 13, John 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Back over in Romans chapter 16 and verse 3, back in Romans chapter 16 and verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila risked their own necks for his life, for Paul's life. What would we do for our brothers and sisters in Christ? As a husband and wife team, what might we be able to do? What strength, what encouragement can we give to one another? In verse 3, Paul calls both of them fellow workers. He doesn't call Aquila a fellow worker. He doesn't single out Priscilla as a fellow worker. Both of them together, Aquila and Priscilla, fellow workers. How much can you do? How much can be accomplished? They worked together. They worked as a team. They were one. They pulled together. As a husband and wife work for the kingdom, they can and they have an influence on many people that they will meet throughout their lives. We may not even recognize all of the influence that we have, but that influence is there. And so together, we pull. We're yoked together And so we pull together. Love my wife dearly, wouldn't trade her for anything in the world. She drives me batty like a Mad Hatter at times. I ain't going to tell you what I do to her sometimes. I'm just a lunatic sometimes, and she has to deal with me. Together, we work for the kingdom of heaven. Together, we work for God. We do the very best we can. We're not perfect. I like to say that I'm perfect. In my mind, I like to think that I'm perfect. But I know I'm not. And I know she puts up with me. And I love her to death. She strengthens me. She encourages me. And I hope I do the same for her. We're a team. We work together. Do you work together? I can't imagine trying to do this without my wife. I can't imagine trying to be a preacher without my wife. It wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. She builds me up and strengthens me in ways that I don't even realize. I don't even see. She builds me up and strengthens me. And I hope I do the same for her as she strives for the things of the kingdom. How effective can a wife be for the kingdom of God when her husband does nothing? How effective can a man be for the kingdom of God when his wife does nothing? The answer is not as effective as they could be if they were working together. There is a hindrance there that keeps you from fully serving God to your ultimate end. And that's why it's so vitally important as you seek a mate. As you want to get married to someone, find someone who can work with you for the kingdom of God. Find someone who's going to aid and help and strengthen you and be an encouragement to you for the kingdom of God. Not someone who's going to be a weight and a drag. It's going to be very hard to serve God if you're dragging along 200-pound weight. It's going to be very, very difficult. Husbands and wives, now, are you working as a husband and wife team ought to work? Are you striving for the kingdom of God together as you ought to? What kind of spouse are you right now? Are you a Jezebel, a Delilah, or a Nabal? Or are you an Aquila or Priscilla? Are you helping and aiding and strengthening your spouse? Are you striving together for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Husbands, are you working as hard as your wives? Wives, are you working as hard as your husbands? Are you striving together? Or are you pulling in opposite ways? Are you working together as a team for Christ? That's the whole purpose of our life. Fear God and keep His commandments. And as a husband and wife team, we can be such an example to those who are outside the body of Jesus Christ, that by our mere example, they might ask us, "How do you do it? What's your secret? What's your secret to being married for 15 years, for 20 years, for 25 years, for 30 years, 35, 40, 45, 50 and more? What's your secret?" You know what the secret is? I think the secret is we both love God. That's the secret. We both love God. We put God first in our lives. I love God first and I love my wife second. And
And there is nothing that ever gets in the way of that. My kids do not get in the way of that. My mom does not get in the way of that. My sister does not get in the way of that. My brothers and sisters in Christ do not get in the way of that. My God first and my wife second. Now, y'all can write after that. It'll write right down the line. I'm not leaving you out. My God first and my wife second. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way we demonstrate marriage in America. Marriage according to God's word, not according to the word of man. Look carefully for me. Real carefully. Look carefully. Y'all aren't sitting up here, so I got a point at you from up here. Look carefully for a minute. Doesn't have to be quick. Doesn't have to be right now. You may think, well, there's nobody in my life. That will happen. It will happen. You don't have to rush anything. Come over here. Be the best husbands and wives that you can be. Most of y'all are over here. Some of y'all are over here. I'll have to point my finger at y'all over there. Be the best husbands and wives in the scriptures that you can be. Build up and strengthen your husband. So that when these are looking for a mate, they can look to your example and say, oh, awesome, just like that. Because I see that in the scripture. It's something we can do. It's something we can do. We just need to make up our mind. You've been so kind with your attention this evening. I so greatly appreciate your attention, your following along in the scriptures this evening. We wouldn't want to end any gospel meeting, any gospel lesson, without the invitation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross so that we might have the remission of our sins. He shed his blood on the cross that we might live. If you're here this evening and you have not been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, everything is ready. We're waiting for you to make the decision. Won't you come forward? Won't you be baptized this evening? If you haven't baptized into Jesus Christ, don't stand up yet. If you haven't baptized into Jesus Christ, your life isn't right. You know what you need to change. Make changes. Repent. Make your life right with God. Go to God in prayer. You have the avenue of prayer. Go to God in prayer. If you need the prayers of the congregation, come forward so that we might pray with you and pray for you. Won't you need his invitation? Won't you need his help? Won't you please come forward now as we stand and sing?